Greetings from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We are here once again to take you on another small journey through the Spirits book by Allan Kardec. Today we will complete The Nature of Future Joys and Sorrows, covering questions 974 to 982.
Enjoy.
Question 974. Where does the doctrine of eternal fire come from?
An image taken as reality, like so many others.
Sub-question 974. But couldn't this fear lead to a good result?
See for yourself whether or not it even restrains those who teach it. If you teach things that reason will later reject, you produce an impression that will be neither durable nor healthy.
Author's remarks for question 974. Incapable of translating the nature of those sufferings into their own language, humans have not found a more forceful comparison for such sufferings than fire, which represents the cruelest torture possible and is the symbol of the most potent action. It is for this reason that the belief in eternal fire may be traced back to earliest antiquity, and modern cultures have inherited it from their ancestors. Furthermore, it is for this reason that in their figurative language they speak of fiery passions, burning with love, burning with jealousy, etc. Question 975. Do low-order spirits comprehend the happiness of the morally upright?
Yes, and that is what tortures them, for they understand that they are deprived of it due to their own fault. That is why the spirit, freed from matter, aspires to a new corporeal existence. It knows that each existence, if well employed, will shorten the duration of that torment. With that in mind, it chooses the trials that will expiate its wrongs. You must remember that the spirit suffers for all the wrong it has done or which it has intentionally caused, for all the good that it might have done but didn't, and for all the evil that resulted from the good it failed to do. The discarnate spirit is no longer enveloped by the veil of matter. It is as though it has emerged from a fog and sees what is keeping it from happiness. Hence it suffers even more because it understands the extent of its guilt. For the spirit, illusion no longer exists. It sees things as they really are. Spirits in the errant state, on the other hand, take in all their past existences at a glance. On the other, they foresee the promised future and comprehend what they lack to reach it. Like a hiker who has reached the top of a hill, they see both the course that they have already traveled and how far they must yet travel to reach their destination.
Question 976. Is the sight of suffering spirits a cause of affliction for the good ones, and if so, does it disturb their happiness?
It is not an affliction, because they know that such evil will end, and they help the others in their betterment by lending them a helping hand. That is their occupation and a joy when they succeed.
Sub-question 976. This is understandable for spirits who are unknown or indifferent to them. But doesn't the sight of the sorrows and sufferings of those who were dear to them on earth disturb their happiness?
If they did not see your sufferings, it would mean they are estranged from you after death. Religion tells you that souls continue to see you, but that they regard your afflictions from another point of view. They know that your sufferings will aid your advancement if you bear them with resignation. Such spirits are more afflicted by the lack of courage that holds you back than by sufferings they know are only temporary.
Question 977. Since the spirits cannot hide their thoughts from one another, and since all the acts of their lives are known, does it follow that those who are guilty continually see their victims as being present?
Common sense tells you that it cannot be otherwise.
Sub-question 977. Is this revealing of all its reprehensible acts and the perpetual sight of its victims a punishment for the guilty spirit?
More than you might think, but it only lasts until it has expiated its wrongdoing, either as a spirit or as an individual in new corporeal existences.
Author's remarks for question 977. When we find ourselves in the world of spirits, our entire past will be uncovered. The good and the evil we have done will also be known. Those who have done evil will try in vain to avoid the sight of their victims, and their inevitable presence will be an incessant punishment and regret for them until they have expiated their wrongs. Moral individuals, on the contrary, will only encounter friendly and benevolent eyes everywhere. For evil persons, there is no greater torment on earth than the presence of their victims, and that is why they always avoid them. What will become of them when, divested of the illusion of the passions, they comprehend the evil they have done, see their most secret actions revealed, find their hypocrisy unmasked, and perceive that they cannot hide from their victim's sight? To the same extent that the soul of the wicked feels shame, regret, and remorse, that of the righteous enjoys perfect peace. Question 978. Doesn't the memory of the wrongs committed by a soul, while still imperfect, disturb its happiness even after it has purified itself?
No, because it has atoned for its wrongs and has come forth victorious from the trials to which it had submitted itself for that very purpose.
Question 979. Aren't the trials it still must undergo in order to complete its purification a heavy concern that disturbs its happiness?
In the case of the soul that remains tainted, yes. That is why it cannot enjoy perfect happiness until it is entirely pure. Nonetheless, for the soul who has already progressed, the thought of the trials it still must undergo has nothing painful about it.
Author's remarks for question 979. A soul who has reached a certain state of purity enjoys happiness. A feeling of sweet satisfaction surrounds it, and it feels happy with everything it sees and all that surrounds it. The veil has been lifted, uncovering the marvels and mysteries of creation, and divine perfections appear in all their splendor. Question 980. Is the link of affinity that unites spirits of the same order a source of happiness for them?
The unity of spirits who are attuned to one another through the good is one of their greatest joys, because they do not have to fear seeing that unity disturbed by selfishness. On entirely spiritual worlds, they form families animated by the same sentiment, and from that they derive their spiritual happiness. The same as on your world, when you group yourselves into categories and enjoy a certain pleasure when you get together. The pure and sincere affection they feel, and of which they are the object, is a source of happiness. There are neither false friends nor hypocrites among them.
Author's remarks for question 980. Humans enjoy the first fruits of this happiness on the earth when they meet souls with whom they can enter into a pure and holy unity. In a life of greater purity, such pleasure will be beyond words and unlimited, because they will only meet sympathetic souls whom selfishness has not made indifferent. In nature, everything is love. Selfishness is what destroys it. Question 981. Regarding the future state of the spirit, is there any difference between those who have feared death and those who have looked upon it with indifference or even with joy?
The difference can be very great, although this is usually obliterated by the causes that produce such fear or desire. Those who fear death or those who desire it may be moved by very different sentiments, and it is these sentiments that will influence a spirit's future state. For instance, it is obvious that those who desire death only because it will put an end to their troubles are, in reality, complaining against Providence and against the trials they must endure.
Question 982. Is it necessary to make a profession of faith in Spiritism and to believe in the manifestations in order to ensure our well-being in the next life?
If that were so, then all those who do not believe in them or who have not had the opportunity of learning anything about them would be disinherited, which is absurd. Only the good ensures one's future well-being. The good is always the good, whatever the path that leads to it.
Refer to questions number 165 through 799. Author's remarks for question 982. Belief in Spiritism aids our self-improvement by ensuring our ideas regarding certain points about the future. It hastens the advancement of individuals and the masses because it enables us to ascertain what we will be someday, making it a support and a light to guide us. Spiritism teaches us to bear our trials with patience and resignation and turns us away from doing things that might delay our future happiness. Through its teachings, Spiritism contributes to our future joy, but it has never stated that we may not attain to that happiness without it.